Something from yesterday's class. Were you here yesterday? Something from yesterday's class. What is the Sanskrit? What is the good fortune of the residents of Vrindavan? And so intimately. So intimately.
Lord Brahma, who was the head of our sampradaya, could not even achieve the kind words or the glance of the Supreme Personality of God. So what hope is there for us?
Was that a question that you want someone to... But after he finished his service, I think it's Vishwanath who says, he will achieve his desire. Did you turn it off? Okay, everyone put the sound off of their computers. Turn off your mobile phones and tune in to that mood gives the desire to serve Krishna power. I have no hope other than mercy. And that's what Sanatana Goswami said in one comment that we read maybe two classes ago. It's just mercy. So what should we do as we're waiting for mercy? Because this mercy is a haituki. It is causeless. Just as the devotee renders his service in a causeless fashion. He doesn't require anything or ask for anything. He just wants to serve. He's so fixed in that, in being a servant of Krishna, he doesn't ask anything in return. And then it's up to Krishna how he wishes to treat his servant. So we've also heard how Krishna is very soft and kind, how he gives himself to his servant, so he doesn't consciously hold back to give the devotees difficulty. That is his business, so to speak. This is what he has to work out, what he's going to do to bring his servant to him. But what do we have to do? That's where we place the energy of our concentration and meditation. What is our position? What do we do as we wait for Krishna's causeless, undeserved mercy? Yes. Yes. We continue to do our service, follow our spiritual master's instructions. What else did he say? Pray like anything and increase our desire and feel even more incompatible. We notice that what is Brahma's desire in one sense?
May the Lord bless him.
Yeah, in another sense, what did he desire? What did he say he desired? Okay, but what else did he say after that? Yeah, but what else did he say? Offer his obeisances. Here. What did he request in text 39? My dear Krishna, because there he was, quite frightened by the display of power from this little boy. And he said, I now humbly request permission to leave. He wanted to go. Because if we listen to his prayer, even that last... His prayer in 40, his mood in a very real sense was incompatible with the mood of Vrindavan, and he wanted to go. 40, he says, my dear Krishna, you bestow happiness upon the lotus-like Vrishni dynasty. Is this how the Brajabasis think? No. And expand the great oceans consisting of the earth, the demigods, the Brahmins, and the cows. Is this how the Brajabasis think, that he's expanding the great oceans of these things? No. You dispel the dense darkness of irreligion. They don't think like that. And oppose the demons who have appeared on this earth. Because Vrijbasis know that he opposes the demons that are always trying to kill him and give trouble to them, but not to save the earth. O Supreme Personality of God, as long as this universe exists, do the Vrijbasis think in terms of the existence of the universe? And as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances to you. The Vrijbasis don't even think of offering their obeisances to him. So his desire, although he desired those that exaltedness he saw from a great distance. He saw the position of the Vrijbasis, and he understood from a great distance that he didn't understand what was going on in Krishna, in his coward boyfriends, what happinesses they were experiencing, what was the purpose of their play. He mentioned this earlier, I cannot fathom these things at all. But he was aware that he didn't understand Krishna. So when one is aware, when one is confronted with the power of the Absolute Truth, one becomes very reverential. So Lord Brahma was extremely reverential. The Vrijbasis, they saw Krishna perform so many activities that were worthy of reverence, but they didn't feel any reverence because of the dominance of their affection for him. So Brahma didn't have that predominance of affection. He had the predominance of reverence, awe and reverence. Awe means respect for the power, and reverence is the honorific mood that comes from consciousness of the power of the Supreme. So it was time for him to go. He had finished his prayers. Krishna didn't even respond to him by his glance, but he made it understood that yes, after you do your service, you will gain your desire. Because yayatamam papajante, Krishna fulfills the desires of every living entity. So in one sense, that as we serve, that is what we should be doing. Increasing our desire. Because Krishna fulfills the desires of all living entities. There's one prayer by one of the devotees that maybe Sri Jagannath Das, perhaps, who Rupa Goswami mentions in his Padyavali, something to the effect of, Oh Lord, you swiftly bestowed your mercy upon Draupadi in her time of need. You swiftly bestowed your mercy on Gajendra in the time of his need. But where is that swift mercy when I am so much needing of your kindness? So we have to, on one side, increase our desire, and on the other side, stay up all night thinking, what is the hope for me? I am so unqualified. So those two incompatible concepts, when placed sincerely within the consciousness, puts us in the right frame of mind to receive Krishna's mercy, or to attract it, rather, that's what I meant to say. But ultimately, all we can do is wait and remember that Krishna's mercy follows Vaishnava's mercy. So as you said, if we can get Prabhupada to put in a good word. Okay, we shall begin. His last lines, Lord Brahma's last lines. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, as long as this universe exists and as long as the sun shines, I will offer my obeisances unto you. Wonderful. So text 41. Sukadeva Goswami said, having thus offered his prayers, Brahma circumambulated his worshipful Lord. I think the unlimited personality of Godhead three times. So he circumambulated him three times and then bowed down at his lotus feet. The appointed creator of the universe then returned to his own residence. So he got Krishna's permission to return to his own residence. I believe Srila Jiva Goswami said he circumambulated the Lord three times because he was conscious of his offense and he wanted that offense removed, and he bowed down and circumambulated the Lord and then he left. Here is the purport. Although Lord Brahma had prayed to take birth as a blade of grass in Vrindavan, or even in the area surrounding Vrindavan, Lord Krishna, by his silent response to Brahma's prayers, indicated that Brahma should return to his own abode. First, Brahma had to complete his personal devotional service of universal creation. Then he could come to Vrindavan and get the mercy of the inhabitants there. In other words, a devotee should always be attentive to executing his personal devotional service properly. This is more important than trying to live in the Lord's abode. There's one wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Unfortunately, I don't have it with me, but Prabhupada said in that purport that the pure devotee wishes to stay in Vrindavan, but sometimes for service for Krishna he has to leave Vrindavan. But then he explains that when the time is right he comes back to Vrindavan, back to home. So the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments on this verse. What was Brahma's desire? Actually, he desired to attain Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna, however, sent Brahma back to his own home in Brahmaloka, which is very dear to him, meaning to Lord Brahma. Brahma is the creator of the universe. If he suddenly abandons his post, the universe would not function properly. In the Vedanta Sutra, it is said, Yavad adhikaram avishtatir adhikari karam. Authorities should fulfill the duties of their posts for as long as they are assigned. Thus, it is understood that after fulfilling his responsibilities in the post of Brahma, Brahma would attain his desired goal of residence in Vrindavan. Text 42. After granting his son Brahma permission to leave, and Tato Anu Japya Bhagavan Sabhuvam to his own son Brahma. Tato, after giving permission, the Supreme Lord, to his own son Brahma. So it is if one visualizes what is going on here, Brahma is standing there with great awe and reverence, with fear mixed with knowledge of Krishna's power, and he's looking at Krishna. So Brahma is so powerful and he's looking at Krishna. What does he see? He sees a very little boy, maybe 5 years old, whose soft and tender skin is shyama, the color of a rain-filled cloud, and with very pink lotus-like feet and palms of his hand. And Krishna is just standing there with the lump of food in his left hand, and he's just looking at Brahma in the mood of, why is he speaking all these words to me? I'm just a coward boy. I want to look for my calves. Where are my calves? I have to get back. Otherwise, Mayi will be looking for me. But it is quite, where is it said that when the great sages think of this series of pastimes, they laugh? So After granting his son Brahma permission to leave, the Supreme Personality of Godhead took the calves, who were still where they had been a year earlier. So this is set number one. They were exactly where they were. The calves had wandered away by Krishna allowing them to wander away. And he took them back to the boys. He took his stick, he whirled it around his head, which was the calves were trained on that signal to follow Krishna. And he brought them to the riverbank. Which river? Where he had been taking his meal, which he had arranged. Quite a while ago we heard how Krishna wanted to have a picnic with his friends, so he arranged this wonderful meal, and all the carrot boys were carrying so much food upon the sticks. And so far, although even a year had passed, no one had eaten. So, and where his cowherd boyfriends remained just as before. So this is set one. Set two is now it's clear that the set two was a Maya set that Brahma had taken away, because Brahma can't exactly interfere or enter into Krishna's intimate leela and take the cowherd boys or the calves, because they are you can only. It's like an ant trying to kidnap Madhavendra Puri or something. You can't do such a thing because Madhavendra Puri is far more powerful. So one of lesser power cannot take away, spirit away, one of greater power. So set number two was a Maya set that was taken away and hidden in the caves of Kamyavan by Brahma. And set three were the expansions of Krishna. So there were three different sets. One was Maya, one was the original Shakti, and the other was expansions of Krishna. They were all three different sets, composed of three different substances, so to speak. So after a moment had passed of Brahma, which means quite a long time, this year, Krishna had, because Brahma had asked, "What is there anything you want, any service for me?" And another thing that Krishna answered was, "Please, can I have the calves back?" So he took the calves back, and there they were, so happy to see Krishna again, and he brought them back to the boys, where his friends remained just as before. 42. The word swabhuvam to his own son indicates that Lord Krishna forgave the offense Brahma had committed and treated him with affection. Krishna didn't consider it as a great offense. Treated him with great affection as his son, but he didn't speak to him. It is stated in this verse that the original cowherd boyfriends and calves were situated just as before near the bank of the Yamuna River and in the forest, respectfully. Previously, the calves had disappeared within the forest, and Lord Krishna had gone to search for them. Not finding them, the Lord had returned to the riverbank to discuss the situation with his cowherd boyfriends. But they had also disappeared. All this was the work of Krishna's Leela Shakti. Now the cows were once again in the forest, and the boyfriends once again on the bank of the river, ready to take their lunch. According to Srila Sanatan Goswami, the calves and boys remained in the forest and on the riverbank, respectfully, for one full year. Lord Brahma did not actually take them away to another place. By the Lord's omnipotent illusory energy, the gopis and other residents of Vrindavan did not notice the calves and boys, nor did the calves and boys notice the passing of a year's time or feel any hunger, cold, or thirst. Now, what is the meaning of that last sentence? Excuse me? Well, that's not exactly what I was talking about, but it was a good answer. They certainly weren't. Actually, they were in the bodily concept of life, but they were their bodies. Yes, but what's directly being spoken of?
A few verses later, it says that the whole year passed as a moment for them.
But the question is, then, if it was a year later, and the residents of Vrindavan were wandering around Vrindavan doing their different works, how come no one saw them? So this answers that question. How come no one noticed them? Because by the Lord's omnipotent illusory energy, by the virtue of the Lord's yoga maya, the gopis and other residents of Krishna did not notice the calves and boys. And also by that same yoga maya, the calves and boys did not notice the passing of a year's time or feel any hunger, cold, or thirst. This was specifically due to the Lord's yoga maya, which the business of the Lord's yoga maya and Leela Shakti is to facilitate the Lord's leelas so that they go on smoothly for the pleasure of Krishna. So if the residents of Vrindavan were wandering around and they saw one set of boys here, another set of boys here, another set of boys in the caves, the leela wouldn't have gone smoothly. It would have gone in a completely different direction. So Yogamaya's business is to facilitate the leela. And not only that, but there was one other big problem that Yogamaya had to deal with. An 8-mile long snake. Now what did he do with that? Yogamaya, what did she do with that during the time? Also made the Agasura invisible during that time. Lord Brahma thought, they did not notice the thirst. All this was part of the pastime arranged by the Lord's illusory potency. Lord Brahma thought, I have kept all the boys and calves of Gokul sleeping on the bed of my mystic potency, and to this very day they have not risen. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year, yet they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? Nothing is invisible to the Supreme Lord. Thus Lord Krishna appeared to be searching for the calves and boys, only to enact the dramatic pastime of bewildering Lord Brahma. After Brahma surrendered and offered prayers, Lord Krishna returned to the original boys and calves, who appeared exactly as before, although their size had somewhat increased because of 1 year's growth. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, since Lord Krishna was playing exactly like an innocent young cowherd boy in Vrindavan, after four-headed Brahma offered his prayers, the Lord maintained his role as a young cowherd boy and thus remained silent before Brahma. Krishna's silence indicates the following thoughts. Where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are these words he keeps on speaking? I'm busy looking for my calves. I'm just a cowherd boy and do not understand all this. Lord Brahma had considered Lord Krishna an ordinary cowherd boy and had treated him as such. After accepting Brahma's prayers, Krishna continued to play as a cowherd boy and thus did not answer the four-headed Brahma. Rather, Krishna was more interested in rejoining his cowherd boy friends for the picnic lunch on the bank of the Jamuna River. By remaining silent, Krishna gave Brahma permission to leave. It is said, Monam Samati Lakshanam. Silence means consent. Brahma had asked permission to go in verse 39. Anu Jani Himam Krishna. Krishna remained silent through the entirety of Brahma's prayers. Seeing the Lord's silence, Brahma took that as his permission to depart. Krishna could not break his silence because he was playing exactly like an innocent young cowherd boy, the son of the king of Braja, in the pastime of bewildering Brahma. Thus Lord Krishna's silence here was deliberate. Krishna searching for the calves and boys was like an actor's assuming a certain role from the beginning to the end of a play. He couldn't break his part
He couldn't get into a different mood. He did not want to suddenly act as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he was playing the part of a coward boy. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.13.16 it is said, Tato vatsan adrisvaitya pulane apicha vatsapan ubhavapivane krishna vachikaya samantata. Thereafter, when Krishna was unable to find the calves, he returned to the bank of the river, but there he was also unable to see the coward boys. Thus he began to search for both the calves and the boys, as if he could not understand what had happened. Brahma began his prayers in verse 1 with the word Numidya. While the four-headed Brahma was offering his prayers, Krishna maintained his role as a young coward boy and thus remained silent. Krishna's silence indicates the following thoughts. Well, this seems to be somewhat repetition, doesn't it? Where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are these words he keeps on speaking? I am looking for my calves. I'm just a coward boy and do not understand all of this. And then the completion of the Bhagavatam 13, 61. Tatro vahat pashupavamsa sushutvanatyam brahmodvayam paramanantamagadabhagam vatsansakini vapuraparito vachinvarekasapani kavalam parameshyachasta. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge, and who is unlimited, assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men, and standing alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hands, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. However, being overwhelmed by the Mahapram, great sweetness of love, of Yasoda and other Brijbasis, and Vatsalya Rasa and the other rasas, Krishna sees that his own knowledge of his powers and opulence becomes covered. This ignorance is not a pretense. He's not pretending. He's not. Sometimes you see, I've seen these pictures of paintings of Mother Yasoda trying to bind Krishna. And Krishna is making believe he's running away, making believe he's fearful. But he has this all-knowing, supreme look on his face that he's aware, or is that comment by one acharya said, he's pretending to act as if a human boy. But this is but there is no pretense in this. There is no pretending of anything. He's so overwhelmed by the love that the Brijbasis feel for him that his own knowledge of his own position is covered. That is what overwhelm means. It is covered. His own knowledge of his own position, his own power, is covered by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. He's always experiencing their love. So therefore it is not described as natyam, play acting. His powers and opulence becomes covered. It is real. This is the bewildering part that Kunti Devi is bewildered by. How is it that Krishna is actually feeling fearful when confronted by the rope and the stick of Mother Yasoda? So Krishna refused to leave that mood of being a coward boy. Even while standing there and accepting and hearing the prayers of Brahma, and what's his mood? It is not, oh yes, Brahma, now you can return to your abode, and after which you are very attached to, that wonderful abode of Satyaloka, Brahmaloka, and then after you finish your duties in your next life, you can fulfill your desires in Vrindavan. That wasn't his mood at all. It was rather, where did this four-headed Brahma come from? What is he doing? What are these words he keeps on speaking? Who is he talking to like this? I'm just a coward boy. I want to find my calves. I don't understand this. So this is quite astounding. And this shows the ultimate power of what? Of Braja Prema, of Bhakti. And it is so powerful that it even conquers the all-powerful, the unlimitedly all-powerful, that Brahma is praying to, that I can't understand how powerful you are, full you are. And what's happening here is, you may say that I'm so powerful, but I'm being completely conquered by the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So who is really powerful? However, Krishna brought the calves who were absorbed in eating grass, Avastitan, back to the same place on the bank of the river, where the cowherd boys were sitting in their exact same position, taking lunch. In that place were the original cowherd boys, Yata Purva Sakham, who were different from the cowherd boys' expansions, who were different from the cowherd boy expansions who performed pastimes for 1 year with Krishna. So Krishna brought the calves back to them. Now, so that pastime. It's almost concluded. O King, 43 through 46, speak of the actions of Yogamaya, who has made all these wonderful pastimes take place in their wonderful way. Although the boys had passed an entire year apart from the Lord of their very lives, Pranesham, He is the Lord of their lives. They had been covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency and thus considered that year merely half a moment. So even time, which crushes everything, lokachaya, krit, in the material world, in the spiritual world, it merely serves Krishna. So sometimes yugayitam, a yuga appears nimesha. It appears in the spiritual world like the blinking of an eye. It becomes compressed, a moment of separation from Krishna appears like a yuga, but here that this year appeared like just a moment, half a moment even, not even a moment. We'll read Vishwanath's comment to 43. Four verses show how the inconceivable power of Yogamaya allowed the cowherd boys to be unaware of the passage of 1 year and thus conclude their lunch pastimes with Krishna, who arrived with a morsel of food in his hand as previously. Without Krishna, 1 year became like a moment as they were covered by Yogamaya. Usually, in meeting Krishna, a long time seems very short. But in this case, separation from Krishna seemed very short due to the influence of Yogamaya. 44. What indeed, comparing the activities of Yogamaya, the bewildering potency of Yogamaya, to that of Mahamaya acting on the conditioned souls, then Sukadeva continues, what indeed is not forgotten by those whose minds are bewildered by the Lord's illusory potency? What can we remember, or what can't we remember? We can't understand what is actually going on due to the influence of Maya. So similarly, the cowherd boys could not understand actually what was taking place due to the influence of Maya. By that power of Maya, this entire universe remains in perpetual bewilderment. Raise your hand if you're perpetually bewildered. Well, now we know why. As the devotees used to say, you're in Maya, Prabhu. We're in Maya. We are covered by the Lord's bewildering potency. And what is the cause of that? It is false ego. What is the cause of false ego? The desire to enjoy, to be the center, to be the controller. And what is the cause of that? There is some enmity with Krishna, some turning our back on Krishna. And what is the cause of that? There is no cause. There is the free will of the living entity is the cause of that. So because of the atmosphere of forgetfulness, due to the inconceivable potency of Krishna's Maya Shakti, no one can understand who they are, where they are, and what they are doing. We have a wrong conception of these things. Here is the purport. It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. What is the opposite of bewildered?
Enlightened.
Enlightened. And what does enlightened mean? Enlightened. Light always means knowledge. So filled with knowledge. Or aware of reality. Prabhu, why don't we open the door?
Open.
Because it's too dark. And you know what happens when it's dark? We get bewildered. Krishna Surya Sambhaya Haya Andhakar. It is clearly stated here that the entire universe is bewildered. Thus, even great demigods like Indra and Brahma are not exempt from the principle of forgetfulness. Since Lord Krishna exercised his internal illusory potency over his cowherd boyfriends and calves, it is not at all astonishing that for 1 year they could not remember their position. Indeed, by the Lord's external illusory potency, the conditioned souls forget their existence not only for 1 year, but for many billions and billions of years as they transmigrate throughout the kingdom of ignorance called the material world. What do you think when you read that? What do you think?
A long time.
It's a long time, and Maya is very... very heavy, strong, powerful. Mama Maya Dratyaya. Now, can you show here what Srila Sanatana Goswami says about this text? Billions of years thus wandering. And what are we looking for? What are we looking for?
If,
then we probably wouldn't be wandering for billions of years if we were looking for that. We're looking. We have our list of unfulfilled desires. And Maya says, only if you just do this. So Srila Sanatana Goswami, a shortcoming. In this world by which one has forgotten his own self, or by which even the omnipresent Supreme Lord is forgotten, two meanings of the forgetfulness that Maya imposes upon us, we forget ourselves and we forget Krishna. And the two are so connected because actually, who are we? We are Krishna's servants, so when we forget ourselves, we forget Krishna. And when we forget Krishna, we also forget ourselves. The word all is spoken with reference to the bewilderment of Indra and others. Constantly means that even for one who has at some time... Listen to this one. This is specific. This sentence is specifically why I wanted to read this comment. It's the last sentence. So take all your listening potencies and evoke them. Constantly means that even for one who has at some time, somehow or another, remembered or reminded others about their self and about Krishna, there is again forgetfulness. Thus it is expressed the power of illusion. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So what, and then we go back to your original question. What hope is there? The hope is only one hope, causeless mercy. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, because it also bewilders the living entity, Krishna's external potency, Mahamaya, is given as an example to indicate the power of Krishna's spiritual Yogamaya potency. Here Brahma says, as a conditioned soul forgets his spiritual identity, vismritya atmakam, due to being bewildered by Krishna's external illusory potency, Mahamaya, the coward boys and Mahamaya. Similarly, the cowherd boys and calves for 1 year forgot the suffering of being separated from the Lord because they were bewildered by Krishna's internal illusory potency, Yogamaya. So soon as Krishna came back, the cowherd boys, how long had Krishna been away? How long had Krishna been away?
A moment.
A year or a moment? Which one?
Both.
Let's see. The easy way out. Okay, now I'm going to get everyone to commit themselves. Who thinks that they were there simultaneously for a year and a moment? Away from a year and a moment. Okay. Who thinks, raise your hands, they were away for just a moment? Krishna was away for just a moment. And who thinks they were away for a year? I vote on the year side because that's what it said. They were away for a year. But that year appeared as if a moment. It was compressed. The time was compressed for the cowherd boys. So they were away from Krishna for a year, but they felt that year to be a moment. And then Krishna had just come back. Brahma had just left. Krishna had come back with the calves. He had gone to get the calves. He didn't want to interrupt their lunch. He was away for a year, which appeared to the cowherd boys for a moment. And he came back with the calves. And what do you think the cowherd boys said? And how did they react? The next verse describes in text 45. The coward boyfriend said to Krishna, "You have returned so quickly." It had been a year, but they perceived that year as a moment. "So you have returned so quickly. We have not eaten even one morsel in your absence. Please come here and take your meal without distraction. Please eat. You were away for a moment. We thought you were going to be away for a long time. But I see now, Krishna, you cannot even stand to, you cannot be with, separated from us because of your affection for us, your friends, for 10 moments, for 5 minutes. So you came back immediately." The word, purport, svagatam. And svagatam te Atiramasa indicates that the coward boys were congratulating Lord Krishna for having brought the calves back so quickly from the forest. Krishna is so expert that although the calves had wandered so far away, in one moment he brought them back. "We haven't eaten anything." Now Lord Krishna's beloved friends urged him to sit down properly and eat to his full satisfaction. Krishna is so expert. Everything he does so wonderfully. He's so intelligent, he's so cute, he's so strong, he kills the demons, he protects us. He's the best of friends. Now he should sit down and eat. According to Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the coward boyfriends felt quite jubilant and were eager to eat with their dear friend Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in text 45, short comment. After congratulating Krishna, swagatam, welcoming, sitting, for having brought the calves back so quickly from the forest. The coward boy said, "We thought you would take at least half an hour to bring back the calves who had wandered far away, but you have brought them back in an instant. Without you, we have not eaten a morsel, so please come." 46. Then Lord Rishikesha, the master of everyone's senses, smiling, finished his lunch in the company of his cowherd boyfriends. Cowherd friends. So here is the completion of the desire that Krishna had over a year ago on this day when he took out the boys for a picnic, a wonderful picnic. With so much fun, and the boys were playing and chasing each other and touching Krishna. So now, finally, they have their picnic. Balaram was not there again, because again, it was exactly a year later, and it was Balaram Jayanti, it was his birthday. But also Balaram, in the days before, had been angry at Krishna for allowing Brahma to steal away. This was 5-6 days ago. He became angry at Krishna when he understood that these weren't the real boys, these were Krishna's. These were Krishna's expansions. So he wouldn't go to the forest with Krishna for Krishna, because Krishna had allowed this to happen. While they were returning from the forest to their homes in Braja, Lord Krishna showed the cowherd boys the skin of the dead serpent, Agasura. 46, the comment of Srila Sanatana Goswami. Laughing, then Rishikesh, smiling, Hassan, or laughing. Why? Because of hearing their words. What words? "Oh, Krishna, you came back so quickly in just a moment. You're so expert at herding the calves, that you brought them back so immediately. As soon as they heard you calling, they probably came back. As soon as they heard the sound of your stick whirling through the air, they came back. Oh, Krishna, you couldn't stand to be separated from us." So when Krishna heard their words, he understood that they had no idea what had happened. And therefore he was smiling or laughing, which were, upon hearing their words, which were confused because of illusion, or because of the feelings of elation arising from not having heard statements expressing pain and so on. So Krishna was so happy also. They didn't say, "Oh Krishna, you were away so long, it was so difficult for us." Because this is the nature of love, it dictates these things. So Krishna minimized the pain of their separation too. And isn't it amazing? So how the yoga maya is working, that the coward boys didn't experience pain because of the power of yoga maya, and we separated from Krishna also don't experience the pain of missing him at all, but due to a different kind of maya. We experience pain, but not connected to missing Krishna. And as soon as we feel that, oh Krishna, separation from Krishna, this is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the journey is almost over. Along with the boys, he ate. He finished his lunch in the company of the coward boys. Implies that apart from them, he himself also for that time, all of that time, didn't eat anything. But it may be objected, then why has he been tolerated by Sri Yashoda and the others that he didn't eat for all that time? So Sanatana Goswami is saying directly, for this whole time Krishna didn't eat. So how was it possible for Mother Yashoda and the other mothers and Nanda Maharaj to tolerate that he didn't eat? That is replied to by the words Rishikesha, meaning that he is the motivator of the functions of the senses of all. The idea is instilled in their minds by his expertise in imitatively acting in response to the command, come and eat. So they say, come and eat, and he would not eat. During that whole time he was fasting in separation from the cowherd boys, his friends. As they weren't eating, he wouldn't eat. So he, Rishikesh, controlled the senses of the residents of Vrindavan. This is just the same kind of activity, the same kind of activity is well known to be present in the Puranas in the case of Sri Lakshman in connection with Sri Raghunath and other instances that he didn't eat. Or at that time, although he personally had no attraction to eating, simply for their satisfaction, he ate. But now, with his coward boyfriends present, his own sense of taste is active. He wants to eat because they're pushing food in front of him and they're playing. And this is the pastime that they're having. And thus, it is with greatest satisfaction that he's engaged in eating, accepting the various perceptions of taste, fragrance, and so on. And they left for Braja, showing the skin of the python is to be understood as indicating that for all of this time the skin was kept hidden away from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that the narration of killing of Agasura might be related in Vrindavan and remembered. It was kept hidden prior to this. 47. Lord Krishna's transcendental body. Now this is a wonderful verse, very similar to Mijite Abravapushe Adit Ambaraya verse, and also to, especially similar to the Baharanya Paridim Vanamalya, Shama, the verse spoken by the wives of the Brahmins. Listen to this description of Krishna. It's quite sweet. Bahar prasuna vanadatu vachitritanga. So Bahar, what does Bahar mean? This is what Krishna looked like as he was coming home. Bahar means what? He had a peacock feather atop his head. Prasuna means flowers. So he was decorated with flowers. From where did they come? These are the forest flowers of Vanamalya. And different flowers over his ears and things like that. Vanadatu. Datu means the minerals. Especially from Govardhan Hill. The reddish minerals. All the cowherd boys would decorate themselves very beautifully with the minerals that Govardhan Hill, that Giriraj supplied. The forest minerals, Vachitra Anga. So all his transcendental body and his transcendental limbs were decorated with a peacock feather, the minerals, flowers, in a wonderful way. Padama Venu Dala Shringarava Utsav. That and Adya, resplendent. Everything was made still more beautiful by Krishna's playing his flute, which was made from bamboo from the forest. So he was resounding. Rava Utsava was like a great festival with the boys. Everyone was decorated. You can't have when you're having a festival, everything has to be decorated and there has to be music. So this is the return of Krishna with the calves from the forest. And then Vatsan Grinan, he was calling out to the calves, Anuga Gita Pavitra Kirti. So he was calling out to the calves by their names, then what were the cowherd boys doing? They were purifying the whole world by chanting his glories. They were singing about Krishna's pastimes. They were telling the wonderful exploits of what Krishna had done. So Gopi Drig Utsava Drishi Pavishesh Goshtam. So as Krishna entered the pastures of his father, all the cowherd women saw this, and it was a great festival of beauty. So this is a wonderful scene of Vrindavan. There is sound, there is sight, there is fragrance, there's everything wonderful there. Purport. According to Srila Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis mentioned here are the elder cowherd ladies such as Mother Yasoda, who loved Krishna with parental affection. Krishna's cowherd boyfriends were so proud of Krishna's wonderful activities that while entering the village, they all sang his glories. Srila Sanatana Goswami, comments 47. Thus, with the excess of joy generated from the association of his dear companions, the boys and the cows, and with the particular ornaments and so on of forest substances, creating ecstasy for the eyes of the women folk of Vraja, he entered Vraja, as spoken by the verse beginning Barha. The verse spoken by the wives of the Brahmins begins Shama, and the first line ends with the word Barha, so describing his color. Forest elements means red clay and so on, and whose limbs are wonderfully decorated with particular ornaments such as peacock feathers. Thus there is a festival from the resounding of the flutes made of bamboo, whose resounding is very loud. Or he was adorned by the festival of dancing, singing, and so on. And thus his glories consisting of killing agasura and so on, which are pavitra in the sense of being spotlessly pure, or else pavitra in the sense of being purifying for the whole universe. They are chanted by those accompanying young boys, the young boys who accompany him. They are sung by them in great joy, just as a regular song loudly chanted in a sweet voice with regular meter and so on. So they were singing the glories of Krishna and his wonderful deeds in a loud, sweet voice as they played their flutes, decorated so wonderfully, and dancing as they entered the village of Vrindavan. And this was a great festival for the residents of Vrindavan, especially the elderly ladies of Vrindavan, such as Mother Yasoda. But the word gopi indicates Sri Yasoda and all the other women of Vrindavan, because this is still their time. This is Krishna's Kishore years. Indeed, at that moment there arose, the elderly gopis, for their eyes, great ecstasy from the excessive joy of seeing Lord Sri Krishna. Or gopis means the goddesses who have Sri Krishna as their exclusive darling, Sri Radha and the others, since it is a definite fact that for their eyes there is a special festival generated by seeing him. Or by the drik, the seeing of the gopis, the direct audience arranged by them, there is a festival for Krishna's faculty of sight. Now this is going to be this type of a thing where Krishna seeing the gopis and the gopis seeing Krishna, especially the young Vraja gopis, not the elder ones. There's two verses in the next chapter, right, quite close to the end, that describes this amazing festival and how the gopis reacted when they saw Krishna, and Krishna reacted when he saw the gopis. So there's mutual joy in seeing one another. And this is to be understood as occurring within Vrindavan, since it being the case, they had not gone far from Vrindavan to tend the calves. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, he affirms that it's the Vatsalya rasas being described here. Krishna affectionately called each of the calves by name. Beholding Krishna created a feast for the eyes, Gopi Drig Utsavadrishi, of the elderly cow, the elder cowherd ladies such as Madhya Soda, who love Krishna with parental affection, with Vatsalya rasas. Text 48. As the cowherd boys reached the village of Braja, they sang, "Today, Krishna saved us by killing a great serpent." Some of the boys described Krishna as the son of Yashoda and others as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Purport. Actually, Lord Krishna had killed the demon Agasura 1 year earlier, but the boys, bewildered by the mystic potency of Brahma for 1 year, did not notice the time passing and thus thought that on that very day Lord Krishna had killed the demon. The demon Agasura was now returning home with them. Srila Sridhar Swami comments, text 48. The word Yasoda Nanda Sunana is shown here as the speaking together of many different persons. Some of them said, "Oh, here is the son of Yasoda," and others, "Oh, here is the son of Nanda Maharaj," or Yasoda Nanda in the sense that he gives pleasure to Yasoda. And he is also her son. Thus by him, Krishna, we have also been protected from the great serpent, by Yashoda Nanda. Sanatana Goswami, short comment. The son of Yashoda who appears as her ecstasy, such is derived from the fact of his giving special satisfaction to her by this activity of his of killing Agasura. And Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments on 48. The cowherd boys sang, "One snake was killed by this child of Yasoda and Nanda as they're coming in playing their flutes. They're singing all these songs and everyone is listening to the wonderful activities Krishna has performed on that day, because every day Krishna performs different wonderful activities. One snake was killed by this child of Yasoda and Nanda, or by the small boy who gives fame and bliss. He also saved us from that awesome snake." Now, would you like to hear a more full rendition of the song that they sang? Because by the grace of Srila Jiva Goswami,
Vyalam Hatavan Mitavan Asmat Kalam.
Today, the son of Nanda killed a snake and rescued us from danger.
Ostadaram Mihajalara Tatali Dantavali Rapi Dantakapali.
The snake's lips were like many rain clouds, its teeth were like a row of mountain peaks.
Svasabara kara davajavatta jiva yugam apivartma nipata.
Its breath was like the acrid wind from a forest fire. Its forked tongue is a highway.
Iti upreti tatma vividhangam Vyatihasan acharata sangan.
We made these guesses about its limbs, and then we laughed.
Ahimman vihitam kalpayamanam giriditam visatakritam manam. Although we could clearly see that it was a snake, we said, it is a mountain, and we entered within it. Tarudra madhya kritabhyanu vishan, nijavara hadivamurchita vishan. We marched right into the snake's belly, but separated from Krishna, we fainted, unconscious. Sneha varad atasena sametan, swakanetram vitavishki satchitan. Out of great love for our friend,
out of great love, our friend Krishna found us and restored our consciousness by showering us with the nectar of his glance.
Tasmad bahi atanishkasitavan punariha nikalambati darshitavan.
He brought us out of the snake and showed all of us what had happened.
Pranad adika soyam pranan rakshanasman kurute tranan.
In this way, he who is more dear to us than our lives saved our lives and protected us. And Srila Jiva Goswami says, hearing these songs, the people of Braja thought, by hearing these songs, both sinners and saints will attain the perfection of all their desires. Because it was hearing about Krishna. And that was the thinking of the residents of Vrindavan.
And we'll read one last verse here. Text 49. Now, this is a change of topic. Because Maharaj Prickett has heard all of this. And then he will ask a question. And this is his question. O Brahmana, who is he speaking to? Sukadev. How could the cowherd women have developed for Krishna, someone else's son, such unprecedented pure love, love they never felt even for their own children? Please explain this. So for the next class, we shall enter into some philosophy on this point. How is it that Krishna is the most beloved of everyone? And specifically, how were the Braja Gopis, who had other sons, they felt so much maternal affection for Krishna, who was someone else's son, even more than with their own sons? Quite unnatural, they thought. So this is a reference, this question is a reference to 10, 13, 26. Maybe someone could read that verse. 10:13:26. And this will be the topic that will be spoken of till the end of the answer to this question is the topic spoken of till the end of the chapter. And it is quite relevant. So what's that verse? As you like. If you want to sing the Sanskrit, go right ahead.
Vrajam kasam satoke shusnehavalyabdamandram sanay niksima varinde yatha krishnaye papuravat. Although the inhabitants of Vrajabhumi, the coward men and coward women, previously had more affection for Krishna than for their own children, now for 1 year their affection for their own sons continuously increased.
How is this possible?
Krishna had now become their sons.
So how much they loved Krishna even more than their own children.
There was no limit to the extent of their affection for their sons, who were now Krishna. Every day they found new inspiration for loving their children as much as they loved Krishna.
Very important point, because who do we love more than anyone else in this world? We love ourselves.
But that is unnatural. So this is the point that's going to be discussed. Because the point of the Bhagavatam, the point of our of Krishna consciousness, the point of our lives is to bring us to the consciousness where we love Krishna, where we love Krishna fully. Fully and in the special way of the resonance of Vrindavan. So read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to this verse, short comment. In 5 verses, 50 through 54, Sukadev, this is the wrong comment, 49. In the previous chapter it was said, and that verse was quoted, in 13, chapter 13, although the inhabitants of Brajabhumi, the cowherd men and cowherd women, previously had more affection for Krishna than for their own children, now for 1 year their affection for their own sons continuously increased, for Krishna had now become their own sons. There was no limit to the increment of their affection for their sons, who were now Krishna. Every day they found new inspiration for loving their children as much as they love Krishna. In this way, the parents, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues, in this way, the parents of Braja had more love for Krishna, who was the son of another, than for their own sons. Here King Parikshit asks about this. How is it that this love for Krishna, appearing as their own sons, was not manifested before the pastime of bewildering Brahma? Usually, parents have more love for their own children, even if others' children have better qualities. So Krishna, okay, he has the best of qualities, but usually the common practice is that parents love their own children even if others have better qualities. So why was it that this unnatural occurrence took place where the mothers loved Krishna far for increasing increments, ever-increasing ways? They loved their sons, they loved their sons as much as Krishna, only when their sons were Krishna. Their love was given to Krishna. Now, why is that? Because we'd say, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Person. We'd say mechanically, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has all good qualities. Naturally, he's all attractive. Sadaishwarya Purna, because he has this, he has that. He's strong, intelligent, beautiful, famous, wealthy, and renounced. Therefore, naturally, they loved him the most because they were attracted to him. But the qualities of one doesn't make one love more than one's own family member. It's something that family relationship does that increases the loving attachment. It's because something to do with the bodies. It's just there automatically. So what is the cause of this mysterious thing? What was the cause of this contradiction to normal experience? So that's the question that Maharaj Parikshit asks. And then we shall hear the answer to this wonderful question in a wonderful way spoken by Sukadev. Okay, there's another few minutes. Any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu.
You were saying earlier about the enmity brings us to the material world.
I'm sorry, say...
Enmity brings us to the material world. That's the first... that's the starting point.
The starting point, we say, is... And then if you ask why do we have enmity, you say free... No. I'm saying, because I'm just bringing up the point, that the starting point is our free will, free choice. And then we make an unfortunate wrong choice, and then of turning our back on Krishna. Yes.
That's what I was thinking, is that I've only ever seen it's a desire of the living entity which actually brings him here. And I've never been able to find out that it's envy. That, like you were saying, it's the free will of the living entity.
Yes.
So desire is the first thing.
The free will is the basis of our being in the material world. And as it's the basis of our being in the material world, it's also the basis of our getting out of the material world and to the spiritual world. This is our business, our mission, so to speak, is to increase our desire
to love and serve Krishna, and to remove the envy or enmity in the heart of being Krishna's competitor, viparyato smriti, because that's turning everything upside down. In other words, we want to no longer be the center of existence ourselves and be Krishna's competitor. Rather, we want to surrender and serve Him. That's the turning around that Krishna consciousness is meant to change us from bahyamukh to samukh. That's what the process of sadhana bhakti is meant to do. Turn us towards Krishna and from having been turned away from Krishna. Or we could say we don't want Krishna to be the center. We want to be the center. So which, that seems to be the immediate effect of, you could say the cause of one's misuse of free will. I want to be the center. So immediately in that, there is, I don't want Krishna to be the center. Just like immediately, say if, I can only think of silly examples, but if I want to be the president, I don't want that person to be the president, because I want to be the president. So just by me wanting to be the president, inherent in that is I don't want that person to be the president. So similarly, when I want to be the center, I don't want Krishna to be the center. So inherent in my desire is not accepting Krishna's position as the center. I don't want him to be the center. Why does everything have to be done his way? If I were in charge, it would be warmer. And if you were my friend, you'd have it good. And if you weren't my friend, oh. I mean, this is the way people think. This is the demonic mentality. So this demonic mentality is basically an enmity, a mentality filled with enmity with Krishna, and an envy of Him being God, the Ishwara, the Parameshwara, and a desire for me to occupy that position. So this is the essence of the demonic mentality that keeps us in the material world. This is called asura bhav. So therefore, Krishna could say in the Bhagavad Gita, there's two kinds of living entities, the divine and the demonic. Either we have a asura bhav, or we have a divine bhav, a mood of serving Krishna. So we may disguise our demonic nature with the frills, external frills of acting sweetly when we want to. But as soon as it's a question of who's actually in the center, I'm not getting what I want, immediately the fangs and claws come out and enmity comes out with everyone. So this is at the heart of our consciousness. Did that answer you, sort of address your question? To some degree at least? It's exactly at the same time. It's part. You can't want to be the center and want Krishna to be the center at the same time. It just doesn't work. We fool ourselves when we fool ourselves into thinking that we want Krishna to be in the center, when actually we want to be in the center. So for our heart to be purified to the very core means that we have to truly make that change in consciousness of surrender, and there bhakti begins. Any other questions or comments? Oh, there's no time. Okay, go ahead.
Around text 43, when the coward boys, the original set of coward boys, were being described as being kept invisible for that year,
Did it say it?
43.
Where does it say they were invisible? It says they were covered by Lord Krishna's illusory potency.
Well, they were invisible to the inhabitants of Vrindavan.
Oh, yes. They didn't see the pure soul. That was Brother Kamal.
The question is, was Krishna there with them, playing with them, invisibly? And then, or was the wonder was that even though they were separated from Krishna for a year,
yeah, that's what it appears.
That's the wonderful thing, that they didn't feel that separation because the time was condensed.
Yeah, because he had come back. After the year, he came back. So, and they thought, "Oh, you've been away from us, but only for half a moment, because you couldn't. You're so expert, and you couldn't tolerate being away from us." So, he wasn't playing with them. They were. It's almost as if they were suspended for a year, and that year seemed like a moment, because he clearly wasn't with them, because they were welcoming him back, but he was with them. In the sense that what can't be suspended from these devotees is they're thinking about Krishna. So they're always thinking about Krishna.